This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's tough timing on that flu for Jalen Ramsey. Asked for a trade last week. The Jaguars, as of right now, have said they're not trading him. And suddenly he's unavailable to work this week. He's got a bug, it sounds like.
The leverage flu is what he has.
I like the idea, by the way, on Monday that you tell your boss you're not going to be in all week because you have the flu.
I think I've got the black lung, Pop.
Yeah, I don't buy it at all.
Spin you around the league with some of the big stories of the day coming up this hour on Grant and Danny. At 1:45, Danny Parkins out in Chicago helps us scout the Bears. We'll give you a Redskins stock report 2 games in next right here on G&D. But start you off in Buffalo, where the Bills beat the Bengals 21-17. The Bills are a surprise 3-0 team behind sophomore quarterback Josh Allen. 289 total yards for him. A touchdown pass after the Bills ran for 175 yards. He made a couple plays to help put the game away. He's got a new favorite target in Cole Beasley. 8 catches for the former Cowboy. Buffalo forced 4 turnovers. A good game defensively. Couple interceptions of Andy Dalton, who ran for a touchdown. Joe Mixon caught one in the loss for Cincinnati. Fell to 0-3.
This Bills defense is for real. Again, last year, just from a fantasy perspective, they limited opposing quarterbacks to the worst fantasy rating of any starting defense. They get after you a little bit. They force you to do some things that are uncomfortable. In that area, maybe they can sort of slow the Patriots down some, but they're not going to challenge the Pats.
Lorenzo Alexander. I tip my cap to thee.
Mm.
Still making plays as a pass rusher in 2019.
Right.
How about Zoe?
Yeah, how about Zoe?
What
man.
A career that guy has had.
It's easier to list the positions he hasn't played in the NFL. It's like punter, long snapper, and kicker.
Cowboys 31, Dolphins 6 in Dallas, where the boys outgained the Dolphins 476 to 283 and outscored them 21-0 after the half. Dallas is 3-0. The Dolphins are very obviously 0-3. Ezekiel Elliott runs for 125 yards on 19 attempts. Tony Pollard, for good measure, added 103 on 13 rushes. Dak Prescott, 246 yards and a couple touchdowns through the air. Prescott feeling good.
Prescott to the end zone. Touchdown. It's another one for Amari Cooper.
Kevin Burkhardt on the call on Fox. Cooper, 6 for 88 and 2, including that one there. For Miami, they started Josh Rosen, threw for 200 yards, 18 of 39 passing. Miami has not led once this year, and that includes yesterday. They hung with the Cowboys all first half. They missed a field goal on their opening drive. They should have been up 3-0, but they missed a chip shot, so they lose by 25.
And they were marching at the end of the second quarter, too, I believe, with a chance to do something. And, you know, they forced a fumble and yada, yada, yada. Dallas got themselves the football back. But this was a closer game than let me rephrase. For a half, it was a close game. Miami was driving with a chance to take the lead before the aforementioned fumble. But Dallas pulled away because they're much better. But Miami gave them fits early, but it was just a matter of them screwing up, and it was a matter of time before that happened.
Speaking of blowout wins and huge point spreads, the New England Patriots at home dismantled the Jets 30-14, and I will echo your sentiments. This game was not as close as the score. New England actually led 30-0. Before the Jets scored 14 unanswered to end it. 7 of those 14 came on a pick 6 after Bill Belichick went to Jarrett Stidham, his backup quarterback, who threw an interception return for a touchdown. Here's how it sounded.
3rd and 14. And what, there's not a better place in football to learn. The blocked by Junie.
That's picked off. They're going to come the other way. And this is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick 6.
The great Kevin Harlan on CBS yesterday doing the Lord's work. Tom Brady, 28 of 42, 306 yards and 2 touchdowns. Julian Edelman hurt his ribs, although x-rays were negative, which is a good sign. Team high 7 catches and a touchdown. Philip Dorsett back into the offensive fold with Antonio Brown released. Caught 6 balls for 53 yards and a score. The Patriots defense held New York to 105 yards and no points. Oof. The Jets scored twice. Special teams touchdown, defensive touchdown. Le'Veon Bell, 18 carries for 35 yards. How's it working out to leave Pittsburgh and be in New York? Luke Falk, 12 of 22 for 98 yards in his first start. Threw a pick.
The note on this game is that Jarrett Stidham did see action. Bill Belichick was so fed up with what he saw that he put Tom Brady back in the game.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how that blowout went. He does not like the idea that somebody thinks they can compete with his boys.
I think one of the big overreactions of the weekend's going to be people talking about the Eagles, who were just pillaged by injuries and lost to the Lions yesterday at home. 27-24 final. They actually almost won, despite being dramatically undermanned. Detroit has now played three games without a loss. This is one of my sneaky teams I liked coming into the year. They're going to kick themselves for that tie against the Cardinals. They could be 3, should be 3-0. Instead, they're 2-0-1. But Philly falls to 1-2 after their loss yesterday. And Green Bay on a short week.
Yeah.
Millions of injuries piling up. Matt Stafford was quiet like he was in a church. Threw for 201 yards and a touchdown. Kerryon Johnson, 20 rushes for 36 yards. So you're wondering, how'd they score 27 and win? They got a big kick return.
Jamal Agnew was benched a week ago in the win over the Chargers, but back in there today, a dangerous return man is Agnew, and he's across midfield, and he might take this one all the way. He will take it all the way. Jamal Agnew, 100 yards, no penalty flags on the field, and how about that answer for the Detroit Lions? Their special teams have been an unmitigated disaster to begin this year.
Fox, Tom Bredeman, he might be a Thom Bredeman, actually, on the call yesterday. Marvin Jones shining, 6 for 101 in a score in the loss. Carson Wentz, 259 and 2. Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, 24 attempts, 90 yards. Give Doug Peterson credit for trying to run the ball.
Yeah.
Eagles minus 2 in turnovers, plus 86 in yards, and they still lose.
Detroit's quest for basically almost half my life now, since Barry Sanders abruptly retired, to find someone that can consistently run the football. The search continues.
The journey continues.
I mean, they just can't do it.
And I thought Kerryon Johnson looked really good early in his career.
I like Johnson.
He hadn't done anything this year.
I liked Ahmad Best or Javid Best. I like everybody they've trotted out there at one point or another. They cannot run the ball. It's a systemic organizational thing. Doesn't matter the coaches. They can't run the football.
Amir Abdullah, who I thought was going to be really good, made a nice special teams play for the Vikings yesterday.
Yeah, he's playing really well for the Vikings. He's their third running back there.
As a special teamer.
Yeah, but Detroit... 2-1. I wrote them off after they looked so horrendous against Arizona. I said, nope, I don't buy it. They've won.
Should be
3-0. Straight games.
Yeah. The North, you got the Bears, who were the division champions last year. The Vikings 2-1. The Packers 3-0. Looks like a pretty tough division. The Panthers blew out the Cardinals yesterday, 38-20 in Arizona.
Kyle Allen, bro.
Kyle Allen looking like Wally Pipp, 19 of 26 for 261 and 4. I like to say they ran a 7-on-7 drill. Everything was easy. Greg Olsen, 6 for 75, couple of touchdowns. DJ Moore, he had 52-yard touchdown grab for Carolina. Curtis Samuel coming out party, 5 for 53 and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey carrying the mail all day, 24 attempts, 153 yards and a touchdown. Also had 3 grabs for 35 yards. Mario Addison had 3 sacks for the Panthers. The big play of the day was the DJ Moore catch and run.
59 seconds to go. Kyle Allen over the middle. That one is complete. DJ Moore in for the touchdown.
Sounds like our guy Dan Helly.
Was that Dan Helly on
the call on Fox? Arizona led 21-0 in the second half before Carolina pulled away. Kyler Murray, couple of pickles. Christian Kirk, here's how you know your offensive plan didn't really work out. 10 catches for less than 60 yards yesterday.
Oh, yeah, not that good. Listen, I'm still waiting to see whatever this thing I was promised is. Whatever the air raid is, they're not fooling anybody. This isn't like when Chip Kelly first showed up and no one knew what to do with an unbalanced line and him running tempo. People do not seem to be fooled so far by this. At least Kyler Murray ran a little bit in this ball game, almost 70 yards rushing. He'd been a negative rusher through two games. A huge part of his game is that quickness and speed and agility. You got to find a way to get guys off you, because at this point, Arizona's not fooling anybody. They basically have furious comebacks late in games,
yeah,
but for three quarters at a time. So three quarters of their season, through three quarters in each game, they've done squat.
Giants 32-31 winners in Tampa by a point over the Bucks. Trailed 28-10 at the half. Come back to win in the final minute. Daniel Jones throws for 336, rushes for 28, 4 total touchdowns. As you heard Byron mention 12 minutes ago, they lost Saquon Barkley early. He was on crutches at the end of the game. Evan Engram, 6 for 113 in a score as a tight end. Sterling Shepard went for a bill, also caught a touchdown. The Bucs had 499 yards, but Despite that, and winning the turnover battle, still lost the game. Mike Evans, 8 for 190 and 3.
Ooh.
Shaq Barrett, 7 sacks the last 2 weeks for Tampa Bay. None of it mattered in the end. Bruce Arians, inexplicably, taking a delay of game penalty to make a 29-yard field goal, a 34-yard field goal. And he explained his thinking after the game.
Bruce, what happened at the end there when you got the 5-yard penalty? Delay. What happened there?
I just took it on purpose.
You took it on purpose?
Yeah, I want the field goal. He's better back. That field goal is easier back 5 yards. No sense hurrying. We wanted to move the ball over, put it in the middle, and make it an easy field goal.
He is kicker Matt Gay, who missed, and they lost despite him having made 4 field goals before that yesterday.
I don't know, man. I'm without speech. I mean, they win that game if a field goal is made, if an extra point is made. They didn't convert 2. One was blocked. The other was missed. I'm without speech. The story is going to be Daniel Jones. I get that. He's a highly touted draft pick or a controversial one that played very well. And it's New York. This should be the NFL story today, is whatever the hell Bruce Arians is talking about. And I'm an Arians guy. I'm a fan of his. I bought stock in this Tampa Bay offense, drafting, you know, Godwin and Evans, and even believing Ronald Jones, the Renaissance, O.J. Howard, and all the rest. What the hell is going on? What are we doing here, Harry?
And never forget on Daniel Jones. And we'll see what happens with him. It's only been one game. But by and large, the people who despised him didn't watch Duke football at all. They just decided because of his college stats that he wasn't good. And more than anything else, they hate his general manager who picked him.
All correct.
So this was the most recent way to say that the GM's an idiot and that everything he does is wrong. Daniel Jones, so far, preseason, one regular season game. Whatever he becomes, we'll see, but he can play in the NFL.
He looked good.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Redskins stock report through 2 contests. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
At 1:30, a little earlier than normal, we'll make our predictions for Redskins-Bears. Why not wait till the last segment? Well, we've got a guest, Danny Parkins from Chicago, to help us scout the opponent as we wind the show down today. You're locked in to 106.7 The Fan, and we should let you know that you are listening to Washington Game Day Uncensored. Grant and Danny today, driven by LindseyCars.com. You will love it at Lindsey. Let's get to a Redskins stock report. Why don't you get it popping?
I'll go stock report down to start things off with here. Montez Sweat.
Stock down.
Thank you very much, big voice guy. Montez Sweat, highly touted. Redskins traded a future draft pick to trade up, get back into the first round to get Montez Sweat. No quarterback hits, no sacks. It's been okay in the run game as a guy that's on the field an awful lot, and that's good. You need more impact in the passing game, though. That's knocking down something. That's getting some pressure, forcing a quarterback off his spot, disrupting somehow, some way. Tough ass to go from the SEC to 2 of the best tackles in football, but that's why you're drafted. That's what you got to do.
Chris Thompson. I think Chris Thompson could be important tonight and really in the next several weeks. He's got just 5 carries for 13 yards through 2 games, but have you seen how often he's getting targeted right now? Thompson, 10 targets against the Eagles, 8 against the Cowboys. A big share of the passing game goes through him. He's got a dozen catches. Terry McLaurin, 16 targets, 10 catches, 2nd on the team. Trey Quinn, 13 targets, 8 catches, 3rd on the team. But I think Thompson tonight could get another 8 or 9 catches, another 8 or 9 targets and another 5 or 6 catches, and could go for 65, 70 yards through the air. Set something up to him in the screen game. I could see him ripping something off for 30 or 35 against this defense that likes to get up the field. Chris Thompson, arrow trending up.
Vernon Davis, you don't like the circumstances for it, but man, it's gone from Jordan Reed is day to day, week to week, to contemplating retirement, apparently, according to some of the rumors out there that his career is in jeopardy. Well, you're here, Vernon. Let's go. Targets will be there. Opportunity's going to be there. You can outrun a lot of these guys you'll be going up against. I don't know how well we can disguise things with him on the field, because you can't really run block at the tight end spot unless it's Jeremy Sprinkle doing it or somebody that may not be on the roster yet. But I think in the passing game, Vernon Davis is going to get some looks. He's going to be a safety valve for this offense.
Stock down.
Josh Norman. We talked a lot about Josh Norman after his most recent dud. Norman struggling against the Dallas Cowboys at FedEx Field. Look, Norman is not as bad as Redskins fans act like he is. He is a serviceable cornerback in this league at this point. What he is not is elite, which is what they pay him to be. What he is not is worth the investment that they have made, and he struggles to turn and run with a lack of foot speed with some of the fast receivers in this league. But it's not like he can't go out on a day like today and cover Allen Robinson or Anthony Miller. This is the type of game, frankly, where Josh Norman, against a big physical wide receiver, should play really well. You'd like him to just go up to Greg Minuski and say, particularly with Quentin Dunbar and some of your cornerbacks like Fabian Moreau hurt, hey, I'll deal with the Allen Robinson. You guys worry about everything else. And you don't have to shut him down, but hold him to 6 for 55 or something like that. Make a couple plays. Break up a couple passes. He's got two passes defended on the year. Josh Norman, arrow has been down, but I think tonight bodes fairly well for him, hopefully.
Stock down.
You mentioned Quentin Dunbar. Are we doing this again? The mysterious injury that keeps him out for weeks and weeks and weeks. Nobody can quite figure it out, but he's not right. So he's always on the injury report, and every time we think it's the week he comes back, he's not back. And then he changes his email. You change your email. She changes her email, and you can't track him down. What the hell's going on? We're doing it again. They need Quentin Dunbar, especially because, as you mentioned, Josh Norman, I think he's basically league average or pedestrian at this stage. They need somebody to step up and be on the ascent. It ain't him. So now you're talking Moreau just back from injury. Jimmy more than in a role that's probably a little bit too big for him at this point. They don't have good answers at corner, and you need those answers ASAP for a defense that's taken on water.
Terry McLaurin, you are authentic. Put it in Sharpie. This is the real deal. 7 targets, 5 catches, 125 and a touchdown against the Eagles. Should have been 6 for 202 touchdowns if Keenum hits him. Week 2 against Dallas, 9 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. Should have been 6 catches for right around 130 yards and 2 touchdowns if Keenum hits him when he, again, had a step. He's fast. He gets open. He can run every route. Kyle Smith and his staff were right. It looks like the Redskins have finally drafted a potential stud wideout. Lacks a little bit of the size, I think, physicality, to be a true number one.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be Julio Jones. I'm not saying that he is. But for years, this team has drafted wide receivers that play out on the boundary outside, non-slot receivers, and you get a whole lot of nothing.
And they cannot play.
He has done more and shown more already than Malcolm Kelly and Devin Thomas and
Cliff Russell and Taylor Jacobs.
All combined. I mean, Josh Doctson didn't do as much in 3 years as McLaurin did in a half. I love Terry McLaurin. Looking forward to seeing him again tonight.
Stock down.
Paul Richardson, what is it that you'd say you do here? At some point, please, please, make some plays. Get open. Get off some press coverage. And I don't know, when they throw it to you on a slant, don't smack it down to the ground and then force the team to go 3 and out a million times against Philadelphia. 7 catches for 52 yards through 2 games. Come on, dude. You're down at the bottom of the fantasy waiver wire. People are going, no, that's not worth picking up. That doesn't make sense. You should be helping this team. I get you were, at best, mostly the fourth option in a Seattle offense that never threw. But they're paying you to do more than you were doing then, and they're paying you to do more than you're doing now. Get open. Get down the field. Make an explosive play or three.
The Redskins have played 2 games. They've lost them both. You and I have both predicted losses in each of those games.
That's right.
I feel like maybe today Thom's going to have Hail to the Redskins ready. Perhaps.
Is it queued up, Thom?
Somebody is going to pick the Redskins to win next. It'd be the first time we've done that this season. Thommy is good to go. We'll also open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We want your winner. We want the score. If you've got individual player predictions, we'll take those as well. Next, we're prognosticating on Grant and Danny.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
So this has not yet made it to Twitter, but I want to bring Thommy on because he is watching NFL Network in studio with Dar, and he's got some hot off the presses news on the Redskins via Ian Rappaport. But I don't see anything online here, so this must be
right
for the television audience only.
I think that Rap Sheet used this for TV first, and then we'll probably tweet it out in a couple minutes. He was just on NFL Now, and the headline said, the Redskins have offered Brandon Scherff a $13-plus million annual contract. But this is just an offer. This isn't an agreement or anything like that.
Right.
But so, he's claiming that he has been offered. Scherff has.
A, good for them. They need to lock that guy up. He's an outstanding guard. He could make a bunch of Pro Bowls. You could say you don't want to pay guards if you want to. Here's what you should do. Draft and develop your own talent and sign those guys when they get really good.
Because there aren't many of them here around these parts.
No.
That are worth signing. That's one.
But you don't want to add to that Preston Smith list of guys who left and end up flourishing after leaving your building. So we'll await the, I guess, in-print or online version of whatever he's going to say. But on NFL Network, Rappaport is apparently reporting that the Redskins have offered Brandon Scherff $13 million a year. Good. I want him signed.
Uh-huh.
Particularly with whatever's going on with Trent Williams. His days in Washington seem to be over, numbered, one or the other. He's got 2 years left on his deal. It'll be 1 year at the end of this season if he comes back and accrues a season. I think they should have traded him 3 weeks ago. Certainly every hour that passes makes no sense to me as to why they have not traded him at this point. But as far as that offensive line goes, you can build this thing around Scherff. You look at what they've done on their offensive front this season. They protected Case Keenum pretty well. They can't run the ball right now. But it's not like Donald Penn or Morgan Moses is getting Keenum hung out to dry or killed. He's had plenty of time to throw. That'll change tonight, in my opinion, against the Bears.
I think so, too. I'd imagine, like, the Redskins, I feel like, are one of the worst screen teams. This is anecdotal. I feel like one of the worst screen teams in the league. Because, to me, this is the prime game where you screen people. Where if you're Chicago, you're licking your chops. You're going, I cannot wait to feast this evening. I cannot wait because they can't run it. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. They can't run it against us. They can't run it against anybody. They're going to be throwing so many times. They're going to drop back, and I'm going to hunt tonight. This, to me, is the screen game. This is where they should thrive. You should do what Andy Reid did in Philadelphia to the Redskins a million times over. So much Westbrook out of the backfield, just catching tiny passes and hiding behind a wall of defenders and John Runyon spearing people after the whistle. It should be a screen festival tonight to slow down that pass rush. I don't feel like the Redskins do it very well, and I think this would be a great opportunity if they did.
Looking at the NFL.com storylines for Redskins-Bears tonight and just running through them with you here off the top, can Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears offense remedy their ills? One thing they say is that Trubisky, who's got the 65 passer rating, has been woeful. We know that. But this was interesting. Remember, they turned things over last week to David Montgomery, their rookie tailback, who had a team high with 80 yards and scored the team's only touchdown a week ago. Tariq Cohen, 74 scrimmage yards, has been a complete non-factor, though. Allen Robinson fell off after a 100-yard opener. Cordarrelle Patterson has done very little. Matt Nagy's trying to figure out how to use him. Anthony Miller might as well not even be on the team at this juncture. So basically, it's a matter of who steps up other than Allen Robinson in this passing game? That's the big question for the Bears. That's what they've been asking themselves all week.
And they want it to be Burton, but he's been banged up and hurt. He barely practiced this week. He's had a groin. So that's probably their second-best weapon if he's right. But he hasn't been right to this point this season. I think that's really hurt them. Kind of an underrated story. You're right in the sense that they're like, will someone take the pressure off of Robinson? Because they're afraid to use Tariq Cohen too much because he's like their version of Chris Thompson, maybe a bit more dynamic and explosive. But a lot of people thought that would be Montgomery, a guy that they've slowly eased in to get in that starting role. This could be a coming-out party for him nationally. But they wanted Miller to step up, and it doesn't seem like it's happened.
Next thing they ask on NFL.com, is this as good as it gets for the Redskins defense? They mentioned that the Redskins only have 2 sacks, which is second to last in that category. I know I'm beating the same dead horse on this. They really have 1 sack because Casanova McKenzie's sack in week one, the only sack they had against Philly, was a 0-yard run that went statistically as a sack. Ryan Kerrigan against Prescott is their only actual sack. But if you look at the numbers where they're hovering right now, almost every category, dead last or near the bottom.
Just very low.
Total defense, 30th. Scoring, tied for 30th. Rushing defense, 31st. On and on and on. It's time to get right. And I know the Bears are thinking that maybe they will offensively tonight, but that has to be the Redskins' thought as well going into this game with Mitchell Trubisky. The third question they ask is, Khalil Mack is every bit the game wrecker that you remember. Will tonight be the night he gets going? I think that it will. I have a hard time believing they'll be able to keep him out of the backfield. Jordan Reed is out, means that you're probably going with two tight ends again. How often can you keep a guy like Vernon Davis or Jeremy Sprinkle in to help against Mack? It better be a lot, particularly with all the three receiver sets the Redskins have been running. Yeah, Mack, by the way, according to Next Gen Stats, league-leading 13 quarterback pressures. Everyone's saying, oh, he hasn't done that much. He's leading the league in pressures through two games.
The sacks are coming. So he's got one quarterback hit, a couple tackles for loss, and only six combined tackles. But that doesn't tell the story. His impact is felt. Even games where Lawrence Taylor, and I'm not comparing the two, Taylor's maybe the greatest of all time, but you would feel his impact even if he didn't have the 3, 4, 5 hurries or pressures because you have to account for him. I don't know where you commit your resources. Akeem Hicks is a badass. Robertson Harris, a guy that we've discussed, the hyphen is what I'm calling him because he's a force in the middle. Haven't even gotten to Roquan Smith yet, for goodness sakes. They drafted Leonard Floyd high. He leads the team in sacks as it is. You are not going to stop them for an extended period of time.
This is one of my favorite tweets I've seen in a while. Mr. Mensa says, you guys are forgetting that Case Keenum swept the Bears with the Vikings in 2017.
I have forgotten that, yes.
He didn't sweep the Vikings. Excuse me, the Bears with the Vikings. The Vikings swept the Bears. That's the way that this works. Says, yes, that was without Khalil Mack. Kind of an important detail. It was a terrible Bears team, by the way. They're now very good defensively. Says, he was with their defense. That should help a bit. No? Yeah, he is familiar with their defense. Cool. The better Vikings than the Bears, who were bad, beat them two times in 2017. That is irrelevant to tonight's cause. Hopefully Keenum can play a third straight strong game for the Redskins and stave off some of the calling for the coach and the quarterback's head. Before we get to Danny Parkins from Chicago, who will educate us on the Bears and help us scout the opponent next, it is prediction time. We normally end the show with our predictions, but we're going to do it a little bit early today because we're talking to Danny in a moment. So, without further ado, Tom Scott Hill to the Redskins, ready to go, Mr. Rouye.
The Washington Redskins, 15th. The Chicago Bears, 13.
Wow.
No touchdown scored for the
Thom's
Redskins.
Face. Five
field goals by Dustin Hopkins. The Redskins do not put the ball in the end zone. This game will come down to Eddie Pinero, who's on the injury report, but he made the trip. Chicago will miss a critical field goal. They might miss an extra point at some point, too. The Redskins win a disgusting set football back 38 to 47 years on Monday Night Football, running their recent record at FedEx Field on Monday night to 3-16. And I just got it back from Austin, and Austin 316 says, you can bank on that. Redskins are winning the damn game. That's the bottom line. A Stone Cold said so.
I don't know when the last time Danny Rouye picked the Redskins was.
They lost when I did.
I certainly don't know when the last time Danny picked the Redskins to win on Monday Night Football was. I am flummoxed, Dar. I'm taken aback.
It was probably 2014, maybe 2013, because it hasn't been since we moved to moved from Lanham to D.C.
Are you guys in as much shock as I am right now?
What is going on? Doing a bit.
That's not a bit. I get the same thing Bickle has, and it's a disease. I've talked myself into this thing, and I can't get out of it in my head. I'm in a rut. I'm in a channel.
I am going to take the Bears in a defensive struggle. They have the better defense.
Yes, they do.
They'll make a couple of plays in the second half. Trubisky with his feet, probably. Backbreakers. They win this game 20-13 is the final score. Chicago over Washington 20-13 at FedEx Field. And that would be what we call a cover for Thommy and your boy at Charlestown Hollywood Casino, where he went and threw some cash around this weekend.
Oh, I thought you put it on the Redskins to cover.
No,
you didn't.
No, we did not.
Oh, I see.
We think the Bears are going to protect that 4.5 number.
Ah, yes.
I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I want the Redskins to win. I just don't see them being able to move the ball, and I think the Bears will make a couple of plays.
Yeah,
it's going to be an ugly game.
I don't want to do the ramifications tomorrow. What this is.
I feel great about under 41, which is the total. I feel great about that.
There's a band called Sub 41 in the 90s. That applies.
Sum 41, I thought. Yeah, not sub.
I kind of did a mix of the...
I think you completely botched
it. No, I did a mix of the... Because it's sub, under 41. It was a terrible joke is what we learned. Okay. We learned it was a joke that I shouldn't have told him. We have to go to break.
All right. Danny Parkins joins us next from Chicago, our sister station, Entercom out there, hosts Afternoon Drive. We'll scout the opponent on Grant and Danny.
There's no offseason at the St. James, and there's no room for bad zings when we have to go to commercial break. The DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and act entertainment, the St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everyone. The complex houses multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues. They have two regulation-sized ice rinks, turf field house, gymnastics center, and even an Olympic-sized pool. They offer training, instruction, competitive leagues, and teams for more than 20 different sports. I could probably name like 11 sports, and fencing is one of them. They got instruction for 20 sports. The field house is amazing, everything there. They've also got an active entertainment center. This thing is truly incredible. Climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, a ropes course, and a massive water park. It's the perfect place to host a birthday party, corporate event, whatever you can think of, you can do it there at the St. James. And that premium health club offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member, in fact, gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. So much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. Thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
Washington Game Day Uncensored on Grant and Danny, driven today by LindseyCars.com. You will love it at Lindsey. We're getting you ready for Monday Night Football. The Bears in town to take on the Redskins. And I'm pleased to go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, the host of Afternoon Drive in Chicago on our Entercom sister station, 2-6 on the score in the Windy City. Danny Parkins is with us right now on G&D. Danny, what is the vibe on this game in Chicago? The Bears surviving a scare last week from the Broncos, got a big field goal at the horn, and now they get the Redskins who are 0-2. What's the thought?
Well, there are two prevailing schools of thought. One is the team has to win because this is a season with Super Bowl expectations. But 1A is Mitch Trubisky has to be a big reason why they win. Week one, Bears fans are hoping it was rust against the Packers. Week two, Bears fans are hoping that Matt Nagy was basically hiding his quarterback because of game plan, because Vic Fangio, the coach of the Broncos, was their defensive coordinator, so he knows their system and Mitch's tendencies and get the ball out quick against Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and that was a very vanilla game plan, not because of Mitch Trubisky's limitations, but because that's what it took to win in Denver early in the season, which is a historically difficult place to win. So the expectation is, because you guys have been very vulnerable on the defensive side of the ball and especially through the air, that Mitch Trubisky will have 250-plus yards passing and a few touchdowns and be a reason why they win. So there's really two things going on.
Danny, Chicago's defense hasn't disappointed just yet. That's kind of the as advertised, and I feel like you haven't even seen the pass rush breakout of guys like Khalil Mack and company. This has got to be one of those times where you'd figure that unit's licking their chops.
Yeah, the defense should be the best in the NFL again. They were the best last year. That was augmented by tremendous health and the best turnover differential in the league. So far this year, they only have one takeaway. And as you mentioned, Khalil Mack hasn't gotten to the quarterback. But according to Pro Football Focus, he leads the league in pressures through two games. So he's been disruptive. He's been doubled and sometimes triple teamed. The defense looks spectacular, like they haven't even missed a step, losing Vic Fangio and inserting Chuck Pagano as their defensive coordinator.
Danny Parkins, 670 The Score, getting ready for his show in 1 hour. In Chicago, the Bears and the Redskins, primetime tonight at FedEx Field. Who's supposed to catch the football in this offense other than Allen Robinson? It seems like it's him or bust. No one else has emerged for Mitch Trubisky, which is probably says a lot more about him than the personnel, but who's that guy?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, a lot of the film study has shown that Taylor Gabriel and Anthony Miller and Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen haven't gotten open. And if your audience is saying, who are those guys, that's totally reasonable. But, I mean, Trey Burton got a $20-plus million contract to come over from Philly because he was backing up Zach Ertz, and Doug Peterson's running the same system that Matt Nagy's running, both off the Andy Reid tree. So Trey Burton's supposed to be good. Taylor Gabriel, free agent signing from the Falcons, supposed to be a deep threat. They traded up in the second round, took Adam Shaheen. Anthony Miller traded up in the second round. So there was a significant amount of investment in pass catchers beyond Allen Robinson. And of those four, none of them have stepped up. So it's beyond the passing game, too. It's basically, okay, Allen Robinson needs to be involved in the game plan. David Montgomery needs to be involved in the game plan. Tariq Cohen needs to be involved in the game plan. But beyond that, honestly, who the hell knows?
Give me the state of the union here on Mitch Trubisky. I'm firm, and I know bad quarterbacks here, Danny, because I live in Washington, D.C. I've seen it plenty, and that's what it looks like to me. To me, that guy doesn't belong. I know there's certain attributes that are nice. He's got a nice jaw, and he moves around a little bit, and he's handsome. But to me, he is not the answer. What's the feeling there in Chicago?
A lot more people are getting there. You know, it's put up or shut up time. His first year in the NFL, he wasn't supposed to play. He only started 1 year at North Carolina. They gave Mike Glennon $19 million to be the bridge QB that year. And through four games, he led the world in turnovers. So they benched him in a panic because that team actually looked like he was pretty good defensively and maybe would be able to compete. So he played way too soon in an offense that was archaic. Think Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher his rookie year. Everyone wrote him off to be a bust. So then he had to unlearn that bad system and learn Matt Nagy's very complicated West Coast spread hybrid year two in the NFL. The problem for Trubisky was that's a really tough system to learn. It was his third system in 3 years going back to college. And Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, two QBs in his class that were taken after him, and the Bears traded up to not take either of them from 3 to 2. One won the MVP, and the other looks like he's a face of the franchise and one of the faces of the league for the next 15 years. So Bears fans are getting very, very restless. This is Mitch Trubisky's 30th NFL start tonight, and he's had a few flashes, fourth quarter of the playoff game against the Eagles. He had a 6-touchdown game with a perfect quarterback rating against Tampa last year, but they had four defensive starters missing in the game. So he's shown you glimpses of the talent and the potential, but it's been way too sporadic. And obviously, you guys are watching the rest of the NFL. When Gardner Minshew and Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray can just come in and instantly move the ball down the field and Trubisky's struggling, Bears fans are near in a panic on Mitch.
You've probably heard Danny Parkins on weekends on CBS Radio here nationally broadcasting, and his show's picked up in D.C. He joins us on Grant and Danny. Before we let you go, what's your prediction? What are you anticipating tonight?
I'm not ready to pick against the Bears, against the team that I know they're more talented than. And of every aspect of the game, the thing I'm most sure of is that the Bears' defense will show up. So I've got Bears 24, Washington 10. But honestly, if the Bears win and Mitch Trubisky doesn't play well, around these parts, it's going to feel like a loss because the conversation will be, is it time to move on from the quarterback?
So he likes the under 41 as well.
What'd you say?
Oh, I just said you like the under, too. The number is 41.
That's a common theme here. Yeah.
Love that under.
Yeah, I can't see how you guys score, and I would, even if the Bears' offense is better, I'd be surprised if they hung a huge number on the board. So, yeah, I do like the under.
Danny, terrific with us, buddy. Have a great show this afternoon, man.
Hey, any adult Danny is a friend of mine, so thanks for having me, guys.
I like it.
And there's only a couple left. Danny Parkins, not to have to talk about the Cubs today because of Monday Night Football, which is good for them in Chicago at the score right now, the way that bullpen is going. If you miss Chris Russell or Danny Parkins or Craig Hoffman talking Redskins, Bears, Byron Kerr, others on the Nationals, make sure you podcast our show today, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Much appreciate you listening. Hopefully a victory Tuesday next time we're talking to you.
That'd be a lot of fun. We are Grant and Danny in our Washington. The Washington Redskins are good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.